go. All right, so firstly, thank you to Rebbetz and Esther Chaim for organizing and for hosting.
Yes.
Later. I know, at least for me, it's a bit late. I'll try to be brief. So I was running around. I was thinking what to speak about. So let's speak about the flowers. And first, to know what are the sources of the uniqueness of having greenery and flowers on Shavuos. Parenthetically, it's beautiful to have it on Shabbos, have it on Yom Tov. It's not only related to Shavuos, but there is a unique connection between flowers and greenery, both in the shul and in the home on Shavuos. The source of that in the Chumash is that, as we will read on Monday, right prior to the reading of the Aseres HaDibros proper, one of the preparations in behavior that we were told by Hashem, not of what to do, but of what not to do, is that the Torah writes that we were not allowed to have our animals graze facing Har Sinai. A pasuk. It was said once, it was said twice. A desert is not a place where there are greens. Nothing grows there. That's why it's called a desert. And by the fact that we were commanded not to allow our animals to graze there as a sign of respect towards Har Sinai during that time, that is an implied indication that Har Sinai and the surrounding area became green. And that's a phenomenal ness. It's a miracle to have in a desert. We just got there Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Even if you live in a place where things grow, it takes time for things to grow. We got there Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and a few days later, Hashem is telling us that the animal should not graze there, which means that everything miraculously became green, both greenery and flowers, and therefore, this will be that is a scriptural source connecting flowers and greenery to Shavuos, both by the Sfardim the Chida and by the Ashkenazim the Maharil. If people are familiar with these names, doesn't matter. These are 13th century, 14th century. Big halachic authorities wrote that it's a Jewish minig to fill the shul, and many people also fill their homes with greeneries and flowers. I just want to make mention that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, right, this is the times of the Alter Rebbe, was a pillar in halachic rulings, went out against this minig because he discovered, he became aware, or it happened in his era, that the Goyim on Christmas began to bring in their homes Christmas trees. So they began to bring greenery in their homes. We came first, but he wrote that he doesn't want for Yidden to bring greenery in their homes for Yom Tov, because we have to make every effort we could to be as dissimilar as possible to the minhag of Goyim. And no doubt, even though I know I remember flowers a little bit, I went to a yeshiva that they would fill up the yeshiva with greens in the most beautiful way. Beautiful. It's not as commonly practiced as it used to be because of this ruling. So just to be aware of it. Having said that, the minhag Yisrael by the people that we live in is definitely to have additional, more flowers on Shavuos than in any other Yom Tovim. And I want to speak about, there are many reasons for it. It's just good to know. And I'll speak a little bit on the last one that I'll mention. First of all, historically, Yisachar was conceived on the night of Shavuos. Yisachar from the 12 tribes, they were particularly gifted in learning Torah. For some reason, the majority of the leadership in Sanhedrin were members of the tribe of Yisachar. They were also gifted in the Chochmah of astronomy. The story of the conception is written in the Chumash with Reuven, and he found the Dudoyim, which is a certain type of flower, and there was an exchange of flower. But it's interesting that there's not that much, to my knowledge, of a record when someone was conceived. We have Sarah, it's rare. Yisachar was conceived on the night of Shavuos. Yisachar is connected to Torah, and his conception came about because of the flowers that Leah gave to Rachel, that's another source for that. Moshe Rabbeinu was put in the basket in the Yam Suf on Shavuos. He was born on the 7th of Adar. People know that. The Torah writes 3 months passed and she put him in the Yam Suf. The Yam Suf was a body of water that was in a marshland. That means that there were many reeds coming out. That's another source that we connect Moshe Rabbeinu, Shavuos, to reeds, to greenery. Anyone else here knows another reason? There are many reasons.
Wasn't her Sinai decorated in flowers?
Huh? So I mentioned that. Very good. Okay. A nest. It came out the nest. Yeah.
Right.
There is the Bikurim that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Shavuos. The Bikurim means that when we were farmers, and get used to it, we're going to go back to that. When we farm the land, well, amen, depends. We'll speak about it later. We'll find out. It's just good to get ready. When we work the land and different products or plants are harvested at different times, fruits in the Holy Land is more or less going to be harvested Shavuos time, which is why it's also called Chag HaBikurim. Bikurim means is that when the fruit started to emerge from the trees, we would mark the first fruit by using then a reed grass. Today you can use a rubber band or a marker that doesn't get washed away with rain. You would just make a simen, and when that would become ready, you would bring the first fruits of a tree to the Beis HaMikdash. And for some reason, this mitzvah was done with a lot of pomp and ceremony. Like, wow, people got together. We would have thousands of people coming together. And the baskets would be adorned with flowers and with birds. How they got the birds to sit in the baskets, I didn't figure that out. Could be with the strings. And people from Yerushalayim would come out with trumpets and they would greet them. It was a big to-do. It was a big simcha, fruits. And we would go into the Beis HaMikdash and we would put it on the floor in the Beis HaMikdash and we would give thanks to God. But there was a lot of flowers connected to Bikurim. There was a mitzvah to adorn the baskets with flowers, Bikurim Shavuos flowers. Who remembers another source?
Our wedding.
Very nice. Now, where do we find that the wedding is connected to flowers? I know that's the minik. For good and bad. Oh, it's going to cost you a lot of money. The flowers. Oh, my God. I feel bad. Whoever married children, you know, they understand the good and they understand, oh, my, oh, Gavaldik. In a good way. Very nice. I'm going to look into that. I'm just trying to think if there's a source. It would be nice to find a source that many people adorn a chuppah with flowers. I get that. Very nice. I know there are many, many sources, but I want to focus tonight on one source, and with a good takeaway. Okay. Very good. So first of all, there's a medrash. Thank you. There's a medrash that says like this, that when Shlomo HaMelech, when he speaks about the rose amongst the thorns, the medrash says that a rose represents what happened in Har Sinai. That, and the Medrash says, I'm going to give you a mashal to what this is compared to. That there was a king that had an orchard, and he loved his orchard. And the king needed to go on a trip. So before he went, he appointed someone to look after the orchard. When the king came back, the person did not do his duty, and the orchard became filled with thorns. There was nothing there. And the king was very upset, and he wanted to raise the whole orchard. And he found, from the whole orchard of thorns, he found one rose. And the king said, because of this one rose, I'm not going to destroy the orchard. I'm going to cultivate the orchard. And that's a mashal to what Hashem said when he created the world. And Hashem left after Chet Eitz Hadas. And when he came back, before he gave the Torah, he took a look at the world and he was very disappointed. But when he found the Jewish people, we are called the rose amongst the thorns. Hashem says that the whole world will exist because of the Yidden. That's another medrash connecting flowers to Yontif. And that's connected to roses. It's a fortune. Roses here. Buy them downtown. I'm telling you from experience. Or make a business. Whoever needs parnasa, sell flowers. It's much more than you think. Okay, so what I was going to is like this. The Gemara says on Shabbos that every time Hashem spoke, the world was filled with fragrance. There was a reyach that was connected to divine speech, and flowers are very much connected to fragrance. I'm not talking about the beauty of it, I'm not the visual, I'm talking about the smell of flowers. Fragrance there's a lot to speak about fragrance, about the power of scent or the power of smell. First of all, it's not in vain that when Hashem gave us life, when Hashem gives us life, the Torah describes it as that Hashem blew into the nostrils of Adam a breath of life. I know that in Chassidus, in the beginning of Tanya, and in many other places, we speak about breath, right? Breath work. Breath is very powerful. But let's move away from breath and focus on the nose. Hashem blew into his nostrils. The neshama doesn't come in through the ears. The neshama did not come in through the eyes. The neshama doesn't come in through the brain. The neshama doesn't come in through the heart. You would think the mind, the heart, the power of sight, the power of hearing, it comes in through the nose. We know that the scent is very much connected to a soul. It's from the five senses. Really, we have 12 senses, but let's speak in the language that people are familiar with. From the five senses that we have, the one most directly connected to soul is scent. And the proof is that if someone passes out, if someone faints, first of all, call them by their name. Might be effective. But if that doesn't work, in last resort, you put a scent. You put something that smells strong and that could revive them. It became a minig. For me, it's a distraction in shul on Yom Kippur that when people are feeling very faint, they pass around. What they pass around is a distraction. It doesn't work, but it came from that. People are bored. Mamish. For me, it's not a good thing. But I understand when a person is fainting, it's very, very powerful scent.
Their hearing and their eyesight is not as strong as their...
First of all, very nice,
Like level of smell.
Smell definitely helps us survive until today.
Right, especially I'm saying like there's special... women develop special hormones right after birth so that a baby can smell and like latch or all these things, that it's very much connected.
It's gavaldic,
to scent.
For sure. There's a lot to speak about scent. I want to speak about one thing. So flowers, shavuos, because God, so to say, gave us his soul. There's a big connection that happens on Shavuos. It's almost like a marriage. There's a new connection, and it's a soulful connection. And soul is connected to scent, and scent is connected to flowers. Let's get the link. From the five senses that we have, let's speak about the sense of sight. I know that if a person is looking and looking and looking, there's an overload, but what will not happen is I looked so much that everything became black and white. Doesn't work that way. But you can close your eyes, but if you're looking, if you're overlooking, however that means, whatever that means to you, you won't lose your sight. Same thing with hearing. You hear. I'm not talking about someone who's making you deaf from the sound was too high. That's damage. Someone is banging on you. Someone is hurting you. But if you're hearing, you can hear the whole day. You can hear it. It won't change. You're not going to lose your chush of hearing because you're hearing music for 3 hours. It won't happen. And so on and so forth. Scent is different and it's unique. You will lose your koyach of scent if you oversmell. Mamish. First of all, you'll become habituated. It happens to all of us. That when you live in an environment, whether the scent is very good or, God forbid, the opposite, it's only going to affect you a little bit. You will mamish lose, you'll become habituated. It won't do anything to you. You know, there's a halacha that when you smell perfume, you have to make a vitamin epsomen. I don't know if people do that. But people that work in a perfume store, the halacha is that you make a bracha once in the morning and you don't make a bracha throughout the day. Why? Because you don't smell anymore. When you buy a perfume, I know this, when you buy a perfume, after you will smell the third or the fourth or the fifth sample, max the fifth sample, you don't know what you're smelling. Actually, you have to do something, right? People smell coffee or whatever it is that they do to erase in order to be able. And that's something very, very special. Most people have the misunderstanding that more is better. And it's not true. Less is more. When it comes to ruchnius, less is more. More sophisticated is farther from God. Simpler is closer to God. Many, Hashem is echad. The emphasis of Hasidus to appreciate the ish pashut, the pashut yid, the simple Jew, that's less. We were learning this week a mimer, and one of the understandings that we came to is that depression, which is something that everyone undergoes with more awareness, with less awareness, I'm not talking about clinical depression, I'm talking about the natural ups and downs, that there is something needed, there is an importance in depression, there's a purpose for depression. Depression is like wiping your nose with coffee in order to be able to re-smell again. I don't think it's in vain that the COVID illness took away from humanity, to some degree, our koyach of scent. Most of us had it. Many of us lost their scent. And I would even say that many of us has it altered. It never came back yet fully. And that's a good thing once it happened. It's a good thing because when we're trying to reconnect to God, which is what we're doing on Shavuos, we're getting remarried, you can only get remarried if the old ends for you to begin something new. And all of that is represented with the flowers. So when you look at your flowers on Shavuos, remember that if you want something new to happen, you have to get rid of the old. And whatever the old was, as good as it was, when it comes to things that are very sensitive, we become habituated to it and it loses its effect. Mamish. And thus most people, whatever it did for me, it's not doing it for me anymore. I need more of it, right? That's addiction. And then the more will also not do it for me, and I need even more of it, and ein lo davar sof. Ve'ein lo davar sof. And the way of going forward many times is to get rid of the old, to acknowledge that to a certain degree we lost our chush of scent. And the more we understand that we lost it, the more we are able to be open to regaining it again. Hashem should bless all of us with a happy Shavuos, with a lot of beautiful flowers and a beautiful scent. It should be a ruch, reyach, ruach. We should have a good ruach in our home. We should be sensitive to a bad ruach and run away from it. Like you're saying that the survival of a baby is scent, even by Yosef, a foid is off. What will save you many times is your... But that it's a very delicate chush. Like when you go into an environment and you say it doesn't smell good. We all had that. And to some degree we might have lost it, which is a good thing. So when we're going to re-get it, it's going to come back even better, even healthier. And we'll make sure to keep close to that which is good. And we'll understand naturally to be careful and stay away from that which is not good. And we'll be connected to God the right way. We'll be separated from the parts of the world that we should remain separated from. And a beautiful, happy, internalized Shavuos to all.